Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Wednesday, April 14th. The time is 10:04 a.m., and we are here in the Fan Run Studios, ready for another great day here in the middle of the week. Today is Brandon...
Wednesday?
Hump Day.
Oh.
Hump Day.
So perplexed. Hump day! That's
there
what he wanted.
Go.
That's what he wanted.
Mike,
what day is it? Hump day!
Hump day! You said it never went away. I'm telling you, every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we got to do our part to make sure it's not
going away. Mike. Hump day!
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, everybody out there listening. No matter how you're listening, no matter how you are tuned into the show today, thank you. Whether you're listening to the podcast later on in the day, whether you're listening live right now on the radio 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, or on the Periscope. Hello to all of our Periscope viewers out there on the Twitter and Facebook accounts. Hey, we are appreciative of you tuning into the show for you making us a part of your morning each and every morning. Hopefully you have a great day today. Otherwise, guys, I hope you guys have a great day today. How's it been so far?
Yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's a bad allergy day for me, though.
Oh, oh my goodness.
It's strong out there today.
I don't know.
Feeling in my throat.
Oof.
Nose. It's a strong allergy day.
Is that what that is going on right now?
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering. I woke up like.
Oh, yeah. Around these parts.
It's like, yeah, it's around these parts. So bad.
I didn't have allergies until I became a resident in Knoxville.
Middle Tennessee is the worst part of Tennessee for allergies.
Not true.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
No, Smokies.
It's not true at all.
But it's like the lower elevation. It all settles into like the bowl.
It is very much known that East Tennessee has some of the highest pollen count and worst allergies in the state.
It is known.
Very, very, very much so.
I think my second grade teacher lied to us in our Tennessee studies class.
But yeah, maybe it might be different for some other people back home from Middle Tennessee like me and you. But like, I never had them when I lived in Clarksville. Ever until I moved to East Tennessee, and I've had them since 2010.
Man,
depends on the day.
My allergies are year round. I feel like there's like a good month stretch though, and it's typically right now where like my body just says, "Hey, it's gonna happen. You're gonna have to deal with allergies for the next 3 weeks, and then we're gonna kind of tone back a little bit, but they're still gonna be aggravating." But you have like this 2 to 3 week period where I think everybody who typically suffers from it just has a hell of a time here at the beginning of the spring. Not fun at all.
Oh, yeah. I wish it was just next 2 or 3 weeks. But, yeah, since it hit probably about a month ago, probably all the way up to like August for me. Just bad.
Don't wish the allergies away too soon, because it's also, we're going to have like one of the worst cicada seasons in the last 20 years.
Do you remember? So you're from, you know, Franklin, right? Franklin area. Do you remember when the cicadas were real bad?
Yes.
You could hear them driving down the interstate.
Yeah, everywhere you went, you just heard cicadas. You stepped outside your car, and you were just getting pelted by them. Carcasses filled the roads and the sidewalks.
Like, you literally could be driving down the interstate wherever in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, and you could hear them so audible.
All day, every day.
Guys, I got the
headline. They're coming this year.
I got the headline right here from earthsky.org.
Sounds
well, I got the ranking. Knoxville is the 26th worst city in the country for allergies.
God, really?
Right outside the top 25.
Wow. Fits,
makes sense we're right outside the top 25.
Oh, it really
does.
We're
almost back. Next year is our year to get there.
Yeah. We'll
be
jump
back
next year. Maybe even top 15.
It'll feel like 98
Can
again.
Can you send me that, by the way? I'm just curious. I want to read all of them.
Here is the headline on what you guys are talking about right there. You're going to have to give me a little bit of background information, though. I don't know anything about this. Billions of brood X cicadas are set to emerge in the spring of 2021. Hmm. Oh, my gosh. The cicadas are coming. Billions of brood X cicadas will emerge this spring after 17 years underground to fill the air with their buzzing mating calls.
No, it's going to be, like, really
bad.
No,
not very cool. Wrong.
Like the bugs from hell. They've been buried underground. It's time to get back to torturing civilization.
Like, the last time that they were around, they were so bad, and apparently that was, like, one of the not as bad ones, and that this, like, 17-year one is going to be very, very bad.
Wow, even this article is talking about here, you can date the, obviously something like this dates back a really long time, but you can even date back to certain sporting events. It says here, during the last emergence of the brood X cicadas in 2004, because remember, 17 years ago, the PGA's Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio, was awash in a nonstop buzz of cicadas, providing a noisy backdrop to television coverage as the golfers played 72 holes over the course of 4 days.
They're saying that these Brood X cicadas are 4 years earlier than they thought they would be, which means that there will be more. There will be more of them, and they will be more intense because less of them had time to die and stuff.
Wow. Look, I gotta say, I did not know anything coming into this about this story. Did not expect it in a million years to lead us off today, but this is disgusting.
They estimate 1.5 million per acre.
Yeah, it's like I've seen videos about it. I've done a deep dive.
Are the cicadas going to kill us?
No. Yeah, probably.
No.
The way things have gone, like these ones will come out. They grow fangs. Like,
we're on the uptick.
All right, so they're just gross. But it says here the cicadas won't hurt you. They don't sting and they're not venomous. Cicadas get a bad rap because they remind people of the biblical plague of locusts. Another biblical reference.
Remember,
here to start out the show
the
2 days in a row.
Remember the locust last year?
Oh, my God.
Right before the pandemic? You remember the locust problem?
That was uncomfortable. I did not like that. It scared me a lot.
It was what, in Australia?
Africa, maybe? China?
I think it was Australia.
There was some in Africa, too, though.
Wow. You learn something every day. Here is one of those things.
When will they emerge? Well, they're ready. But they're just waiting for the soil to get warmer. The ideal soil temperature is 64 degrees, and we're really close. So, like, these cicadas could be emerging any day now.
It's just a couple bugs.
They'll get in your mouth, your hair, your hat, your car. You open a door for 3 seconds, and they'll be in your house.
I never had one get in my mouth, but they're annoying as far as how loud they are. That would be awful if one got in my mouth. Ugh.
Wow.
They're big.
Yeah, these are crazy. That's a wild story that I'm sure none of us are anticipating, but hey, well, I guess we'll go through it together. Gentlemen, we got a good show lined up today as there is plenty of things to get in to get into and talk about. Of course, first and foremost, your number to get in, 865-546-8200. Got a little Tennessee basketball recruiting news to talk about as We had a bunch of that news yesterday, but even more news to talk about today from the basketball world. Again, a couple of big-time recruits that might have a couple of upticks towards Tennessee that you are definitely going to want to know about. Got a little Tennessee football news as the team was back in pads on the practice field yesterday. Tell you about some of the inactives, tell you about who was there, and maybe some of the storylines coming out of practice. And then we just got some other stuff to talk about. Hey, Tennessee baseball had a big-time win last night. When I say big-time win, I mean on the scoreboard. Tennessee won over Western Carolina. I believe it's not pulling up for me right now. I believe it was by a score of 14-12.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. Barn burner. That's a way to set up a date with Vanderbilt coming up this weekend, huh?
Yeah. It's a midweek game. I'm not worried about it.
Oh, yeah, worried about it at all. I'm just excited. Like, I'm like, yeah, man, they put 14 runs up on the board. Like, that's got to get the players a little juiced up heading into Friday. Again, the players that are going to carry over directly into the next game against Vanderbilt, it's not going to be this pitching staff that gave up 12. It's going to be the offense. So I feel good about it, man.
Fergie came alive, which is good. We need
him. He did. I saw he had a solo jack.
He had five hits and six RBIs, I think. And, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like Rick said, you're not going to have to worry about the young arms that we threw last night throwing this weekend, just the bats that came alive. And that's a good team. They were 31st in RPI going into this week. So, I mean, it wasn't like we were just playing some slouch.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tennessee gets a big win in the middle of the week, but all eyes now turn to Knoxville for one of the most anticipated series matchups in all of college baseball to this date. You have two rivalry teams, two in-state teams, two divisional teams, two teams that hate each other, and two top five teams, all taking place in Lindsey Nelson Stadium this weekend, a place in a city that has been desperate for a kind of big-time spotlight matchup like this. I cannot wait to see how the team responds, the city responds, the fans respond. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is, when has there been a bigger matchup on Tennessee's campus? It's been a long time, right? And just sports?
I mean,
you've had some primetime Kentucky-Tennessee matchups where you have two top 10 or top 15 teams. Of course, in basketball, it is going to be
Oklahoma,
a little bit more prominent.
I mean, back when Tennessee played Oklahoma.
But even that
football was
6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so certainly there has been a drought in the meantime.
It's been one of your biggest baseball matchups since 2005, when you were actually contenders then. So, yeah, it's huge. Huge for the program.
When's the last time we won a series against Vanderbilt?
Well, we're 5-5 in our last 10 against them. Weirdly enough, as bad as things have been, we've played Vanderbilt well. So being 5-5 in our last 10 means that we at least won one series there.
All right, here you go. So let's see. In 2019, looks like you lost 2 out of 3.
I think 2016 was the last time we won a series.
2016, you're right. It would have been in April of 2016. Looks like the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Tennessee won on the 23rd and the 24th, 2-1 and 5-3 at home.
It's been 5 years since we won a series against Vanderbilt.
Wow. Not to mention, last time you did it too, you did it at home as well. So it'd be nice to get that done in front of your home stadium as well. Give the crowd really something to get excited about.
Oh, that crowd is going to be so good this weekend.
It's going to be nasty. It is going to be nasty.
We going to try to go?
We talked about that yesterday a little bit on the show. I don't have the money to go personally, but if we can find another way to go, then I will have my happy butt there.
If we can get you guys some student IDs, if I can find some for you, we can get you in.
I used to still have mine.
I was about to say, I don't know. I think I threw it away, though.
I think I threw it away recently, actually.
I think I might have mine in a drawer somewhere. Do they not scan them?
No, they just look at it.
Oh.
Look at that. The world's worst student ID picture.
Let me see yours, Rick.
Ugh.
you look like a serial killer from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. Not good. But I got mine, so maybe this will fly. What do you think of that picture?
Oh, yours is like newer looking than mine, I think.
I got it with 4 weeks of school left my senior year.
Okay, yeah, I got mine my freshman year. I had to have one to get my exam. Yours is more new
than mine. Oh, yeah, mine is definitely the old one. That's definitely not like that.
Like, is yours upright like this, Charlie?
No,
like
mine is not upright.
No, mine's
yeah, this is the first
mine's
vertical.
Horizontal.
Yeah. This is the first vertical one I had. But again, I got this in, it would have been the winter of 2019. I had one student ID just like you guys had, but I lost it and had to spend like $36. And that's a lot of money at the time. It kind of is now, too, but had to spend a bunch of money on a stupid new student ID. So, yeah, we got one
out of the way. If we can find you two student IDs, we can make this work.
I don't want to reveal our whole plan on air, but, you know.
They ain't looking for us.
They're going to take our birthday away.
Yeah, that's true.
Is there not any area, like any, like, lawn area, like where
Well, there's a hill over on the on the third base side.
No, he means outside of the stadium.
Yeah, outside. We can sit up on the hill. We just got to get there early.
You can't see very well.
I don't care.
Yeah, we can listen to John Wilkerson.
We'll listen to the PA. BYOB.
Yeah,
you know, we don't have to pay $10 for a beer at the stadium.
BYOM.
I like it.
That was meat, by the way.
I had no idea where that was going.
Yeah, no, that's meat.
Lost me.
Man, if you are going to the baseball stadium this weekend, be sure to have a blast because it is going to be insane. Again, we've had a couple of big games here in Knoxville in the last 5-10 years, but rarely have we had a top five matchup. Rarely have we had a matchup with this many implications on the line. But you will have that this weekend at home, Tennessee Vanderbilt in baseball. It's going to be exciting, just like the rest of our show is. Man, we got so much to get into. We do want to hear from you at some point, 865-546-8200. But until then, hey, we'll catch a quick break right here. Jump back on the other side and see what we can get into to start out the day. Remember, we got a little Tennessee basketball recruiting news, and we'll check in with the football team on the practice field coming up next. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:23 a.m. No, I might actually be a little envious of the people in Nashville with their allergies. They're a little bit low on the list.
Yeah, we learned that they are the 73rd in the country.
Which, like, and granted, in the grand scheme of things, still pretty darn high.
Yeah, you're
like, there's a lot of better places to live.
Well, this is a top 100.
Top 100.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's still pretty pertinent. Top 100 cities in the United States.
There were probably, what, like over 10,000 cities? Over 20,000? Over 50,000? I don't know.
Cities in the U.S.?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many exactly. We have Google. I'll figure it out.
I got it. I'm on it.
How many total cities do we have? It's got to be a lot.
As of 2018, there are 19,495 incorporated cities, towns, and villages.
Okay. Even through in the townships.
So not that many.
Nashville is in the top 0.3% for all pollen in the entire nation. And you're out here envious?
Compared to where we are? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Three times? Hey, that's still big in my book. No doubt about it. Guys, we spent a little bit of time yesterday talking about some of the Tennessee basketball additions, the subtractions, some of the movement going on around the team. We also talked about some of the transfer players that Tennessee did not land in the process. Told you how Noah Gurley went to Alabama, how Walker Kessler went to Auburn. But I got a little bit more news on another big name, and I should say a big name and a big player that even could be trending a little bit more towards Tennessee. Out of the 2022 class, looks like Brandon Huntley Hatfield has received another crystal ball projection towards Tennessee. That now makes nine predictions for Tennessee as opposed to it looks like, I believe, 6 for Ole Miss.
No, I think that's just the level of confidence.
Excuse me, level. It's 80% to 20%.
Yeah, it's so four. He's got four crystal balls for Tennessee, 2 for Ole Miss, and 3 of those 4 crystal balls for Tennessee put them at 9 as far as confidence.
Okay, gotcha.
And 2 of them came in last night, right?
Mm-hmm, from Jerry Meyer, who's the director of basketball scouting, and then Travis Branham, who's 247 basketball analyst. So
that was big.
Jerry
Meyer
is a pretty big one. If he's dropping it in there with a 9, you got to feel pretty good.
Jerry Meyer, his all-time accuracy is 76%. Travis Branham is 96.2%, far less sample size there for Branham. But for their 2022 accuracy, they are both batting 1,000.
Bang.
That's got to make you feel good. And then you got to feel
And Travis Branham has a VIP scoop.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
If you're getting these crystal balls recently with this kind of, confidence, this level of confidence, that makes you feel like you're probably going to see a commitment rather soon and a reclassification because, I think if he comes to Tennessee, it will be under the condition that he's reclassifying because he would really want to play with Kennedy Chandler, and he fills a very obvious need within the team. It just makes too much sense.
Yeah, I saw that there was a lot of talk about him reclassifying to the 2021 class.
This is the number one power forward in the country, the number 6 player in the country, and the number 1 player out of Pennsylvania, standing 6'9", 230 pounds, a power forward who is stellar. You guys just talked about Jerry Meyer predicting Huntley Hatfield to Tennessee. Here's what Meyer has to say in his scouting report. Has a quintessential power forward body with length, strength, and density.
Dense.
That is a strong sentence. I just want to acknowledge the strength of that sentence. Very good. He has a quintessential power forward body with length, strength, and density.
He's long and strong and dense.
Power-based athlete.
That's the title of hour one, Charlie. Long, strong, and dense.
High-level body control for a player his size. Can score from all 3 levels. Very comfortable with the ball. Has functional ball handling skills that produce buckets in scoring range. Can get to the basket efficiently. Loves to go left as a righty. So on and so forth. Look, we've talked about this a lot, how Tennessee has been in need of a skilled big man. But not just one that is sitting there under the rim, but one that can really be used in today's type of positionless basketball. Huntley Hatfield checks every one of those boxes. Again, like what Meyer is saying right here, this is a guy with size and strength.
I mean, he's originally from Clarksville.
Shout out to 931.
Yes, sir.
And he's Alex Poitras' cousin.
Oh, I love Alex Poitras.
Mm-hmm.
Poitras was a nice player in Clarksville, too. Northeast. It sucks he had the injuries that he did at Kentucky.
That one Twitter account, Alex Poitras, the type of dude too, was one of the funniest things of the early 2010s.
So another thing that I do think about, this situation with Huntley Hatfield, and it is very good that Tennessee is racking up these crystal ball predictions. Again, we just talked about it a second ago, 4-1 in comparison. But I will say this, Tennessee, the very next thing that should be on their radar is making sure that these assistant coaches are reaching out, right? Getting to know this guy a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you finished. My bad.
He's a great prospect.
Yeah. I just got excited because I saw that the Jonas Adu, the guy that from North Carolina.
That we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that North Carolina stopped recruiting him now.
Uh-oh.
Which means.
Really?
Which means some pretty interesting stuff. I'm sorry, Rick. I popped up.
Justin Gainey has those ties with him from a commit at Marquette.
I mean, he was his lead recruiter there. And
so you can get Adu.
Well,
and Huntley Hatfield. I mean,
to talk about how deficient we've been with our post presence for the past 2-3 years.
You give me 2 post players like that, Kenny Chandler and Triple J. Oh, let's ride. Let's ride.
Let's do it.
I mean, Adu, too, if you get him, it would be just so beneficial for him to have Hatfield because Adu is still really weak. He really needs to get a lot stronger, especially in his lower body, because he is not good on the block right now. He's just not strong enough to go up and be explosive enough down low against, you know, some this similar size competition at the college level. But he can, you know, spread you out a little bit. He can shoot. And he's an excellent defender in terms of his lateral quickness and his ability to block shots. So, you know, if you can kind of get him someone to run with or someone to spell him or start ahead of him that can actually play with his back to the basket and be the true post that you need while you still kind of get him stronger and teach him a little bit, you know, that'd be huge.
Yeah, that was the knock when we talked about Adu yesterday. Brandon pulled up those notes that he can't play with his back to the basket yet, and he was very weak as far as strength and physicality goes down in the post right now. You got both of those
this
guys.
This roster, I know we said this last year, and we ended up regretting it every day since, but this roster's shaping up to look pretty good last year.
Oh, we still got to get them first. This year. We still got to get them first.
Shaping up, though. It's shaping up. And it looks like a more versatile slash flexible offense that you can do more with this roster.
The whole SEC on a whole is getting better this offseason. There's no doubt about it. You have seen it in the transfer portal already. Looking at some of these players that have transferred into the SEC, Tennessee's going to have to stay right there up at the top level in order to stay up with this competition. Look, we've seen Ole Miss make moves. We've seen Alabama make moves. We know that Kentucky's going to be back, so on and so forth. And I do believe that these are just a couple of names that can help Tennessee get to that point where they want to be. Again, we're not just talking about good basketball players here. I think that's the difference in between things. You're not just talking about good basketball players. We're talking about good players in areas of need. You think about it, the number one point guard in the country, number two point guard in the country, Kennedy Chandler, followed by the number one power forward in the country. Hey, and in the middle of a little bit of staffing change, not too bad. Not too bad. All right, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:35 a.m. as we are making our way through the first hour of the show today. As always, phone line still wide open, 865-546-8200. That is your number if you want to call in and join us on the show today. Otherwise, get back into a little Tennessee conversation today. Just wrapped up a little bit of basketball news in terms of the recruiting world. But otherwise, Tennessee hit the practice field yesterday for, I believe it was the eighth practice of the spring for Coach Heupel and the football team. You did have full pads in the workouts yesterday, and there are a couple of interesting notes about players who might have been back at practice in full participation, some of the players who are still a little bit limited as things are going on. But one of the names that I thought was best to see out there that was back to being a full participant was Jalin Hyatt. I think he's been one of the most collectively agreed upon, maybe breakout candidates of next year. Right? I think a lot of people are certainly looking at that guy as one of the players that flashed a lot of potential throughout the season last year, but obviously none of the receivers, right, were ever put in that good of a position to succeed. So I think that you take his season from last year, you take some of the best things about it, you go into next season knowing that, hey, there's going to be a lot of skill talent around the quarterback. Got to just figure out how to use him and put him in the best position. To me, and obviously things are still early, but it's good to see him back, especially knowing that the Tennessee staff is playing everything very safe. And hey, why would you not right now? You have the orange and white game coming up in about 10 days, but you don't need anybody back for that entirely. So Tennessee taking it safe, but at the same time, you put somebody back in full participation, makes me think that they're ready to go. Again, that's just one of the names that stuck out to me. An interesting participant.
Yeah, good to see. Getting everybody back healthy.
Otherwise, Jeremy Banks, Latrell Bumpus, and Roman Harrison were three of the players that out on the practice field a little bit, but did move back indoors to go, I guess, probably finish a little bit of physical therapy workouts or something like that, as again, all of those guys are nursing injuries. Guys like Tyler Barron and Tyon Evans were dressed out, but again, did not practice too much, were limited. And that's actually the same thing that we had seen in the open practice as well, right? We had seen some of those guys dressed out, but not necessarily going through the drills, kind of just being a part of the atmosphere, making sure you're listening and learning, even if you are not actually going through everything. Now, I got to ask this question, and we got about 10 days or so until the spring game. You know, but I was really thinking about the spring game, and you know, I'm very much going to temper my expectations for anything that can kind of come out of the spring game. But what I do want to see is just, I want to start to see the beginning of how this team is going to carry itself in an in-game situation, right? Is this going to be a up-tempo team? I certainly believe it is. But what is that actually going to be like? I want to see who's going to be some of the more vocal leaders on the team. You know, going back even about a week or two ago, one of the conversations we had here on the show was what is maybe the most even productive thing for Tennessee to do with their spring game? We talked about a couple of different options between maybe a scrimmage, maybe an in-house scrimmage, maybe just drills, maybe something along those lines. I think it's certainly okay to do what Tennessee is doing, but there are going to be a couple of things I look out for, even if my expectations are still going to be watered down for the most part. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing I'll be looking at most is when you get, you know, full 11-on-11 live in a scrimmage-type situation like you will for the spring game in front of some sort of crowd, how does each individual quarterback control the offense? How do they control the tempo? How do they handle, you know, the speed at which the offense wants to operate and getting, you know, lined up at the ball consistently after the ball spotted, getting your guys in order and getting them to run the right routes, the right blocking scheme, everything else. You know, how does each quarterback handle operating that a high tempo offense?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's going to be, and really, you think about the three quarterbacks that are going to be vying for the experience, and the good thing about each one of them, and maybe it's something to note about it, is that all three of them do bring in one thing in common, and that is experience to some degree. You got two guys there, and they might be the least experienced out of the three, but at least they have experience inside. Excuse me, of Neyland Stadium. Then the third guy, you have Hinton Hooker, who's just got the most collective experience out of all three combined, but that certainly is something that you bring in. And again, we talk about leadership all the time in the show. That's got to be an area where you do have leadership. You have an experienced quarterback, somebody who knows what they're doing in this role, even if you're still trying to bridge the gap a little bit between staff and players. Quarterback has got to be one of the biggest leaders. And like Charlie's saying, I hope that the experience of what they bring to the table helps carry them not just in practice, but also at this last scrimmage coming up at the end of the month.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
You're just going to wait. You don't have any expectations for this summer. You just want to wait till the season starts. I see it. You're a battered Vols fan right now.
I am.
They've put you through the ringer.
But I don't know. We'll see what they do at quarterback. And I agree. I think Hinton Hooker is going to be the guy.
It just makes a lot of sense. But they keep hearing talks. Maurer looking pretty good.
Yeah, I have no idea who's going to be the guy right now. You know,
I think it's between those two.
Yeah,
I think you can put Harrison Bailey in the transfer portal after this season.
I think it's still down to all four of them. I don't think they're anywhere close to deciding, and I'm glad that it should be that way. You can't find a quarterback in the spring.
No, but yeah, you got to imagine that you have front runners at some point, right?
You know, I would say, honestly, I would hope that you don't even really have, you know, a front runner among the coaching staff until fall.
In what way?
Well, you know, I mean, all four guys react differently to picking up a new offense with a new coaching staff in the spring. There's not a whole lot of time yet to really show how you operate within the offense because everyone's still just trying to pick up the offense. And, you know, once you get into fall, that's when you're more comfortable with the offense itself, and then you can really – there will be a difference in quarterback play between then and now because once guys are comfortable, then they just start playing quarterback and then – hopefully they'll be better that way. So, you know, I don't really think you should have too much of an idea in your head of who you like in the spring as a coaching staff and who your front runner is, because when you get to fall and when you get that entire summer for guys to study the offense and hopefully become experts in that offense, you know, you could see different quarterback play come fall.
I see what you're saying, but I would think that most coaches, unless you're, one, going into the fall with some injury situations or just like some very young quarterbacks, I think that you'd have a little bit of an idea because you kind of want to start off fall with, you know, maybe two guys competing for it, more or less than all four guys. So your first team can get comfortable with that first team quarterback and et cetera. That's what I would think. I would think that doesn't mean like, hey, this is the depth chart going into fall camp first day. But I think that over the spring, they figure out who has understood the offense the best, who is, you know, that has came up to speed the best with this new offense. You're right, it's new. But there's going to be a couple guys or one guy that is going to adapt more so than the rest. And then you go into the fall with that person not solidified as a starter, but you kind of have an idea that they're going to take all the first-team reps and they're going to get the opportunity to show why they should be the starter.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chance. I think that, like, there's not a limitation on how many guys that you can have impress you. If I'm a coach, I certainly want a front runner to establish himself here in the spring. And
somebody
granted,
separate
again,
themselves.
Yeah, exactly, right? You want somebody to basically come out and say, you know what, coach? By God, I don't care that it's been 3 weeks of practice. I'm going to show you right now that there is nobody else that is going to take the field at quarterback because I'm going to establish myself in any profession, and no matter what it is. It doesn't matter how early in a tenure it is. You want to be the one to establish yourself as the front runner to be the best. If you sit back on your heels, and granted, I'm not saying what that is, it's just a broad statement, but if you sit back on your heels, man, those opportunities are going to pass you by. I absolutely would love a front runner to be established. Now, again, and maybe this is closer to what you were saying, I don't think the coaching staff needs to go into the spring and, you know, basically say, all right, no matter what, at the end of this spring practice, you know, at the end of this whole shindig, then we're going to make sure that we had found our front runner. Maybe that's not the case. But, man, if they're walking out of this in 14 days and they're saying, you know what, man, Brian Maurer sure impressed us. They impressed the hell out of us over this last week, over the spring game, things like that. That is an interesting guy to keep your eye on how he finished practice going into the spring. That, to me, is a front runner, and that is a good thing.
Yeah, I just think coaches, they'll have a favorite.
Yeah, but should they go into a season expecting one? No, I don't think you should always do that because, again, like we've said here a second ago, you're not going to find your quarterback in the spring, but hey. It's always nice to maybe have a little bit of an idea or at least have somebody to be impressed by while you take a little bit of time off for the next 3 to 4 months. A little bit of a Tennessee football practice report right there. Again, I know that there's not too much coming out of it. These guys are going through drills, right? What can we say? They're going through the big boys are getting hit with the big pads. Like, that's kind of it. There's not too much. We're going to keep you updated as best we can on all the player movement so you can be sure to make So you can make sure to track your favorite Tennessee players. But again, as far as things go on the field, there's just a lot of drills going on. We're going to present to you any information that we have. But again, a lot of these things right now, kind of hypothetical conversation with Coach Heupel's first spring underway. And really kind of nearing the end as, again, the Orange and White game 10 days away. All right, gentlemen. The final segment of hour number one is on deck. We'll take a quick break right here, come back on their side, and then figure out something fun that we can do to close out this first hour of the show. Hey, we still got plenty to get into before 12 o'clock noon, but don't go anywhere. In the meantime, you're listening to The Blitz. All right, straight over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, 865-546-8200. Phil, thanks for hanging on for a while there. Good morning to you, my friend. It's great to talk to you. How are you doing?
Not too good, Fabulous.
Oh, no. I hope it's not due to us.
Well, I had to hear all that Tennessee football talk for 20 minutes. It's kind of boring, you know?
Well, hey, what do you want us to do? We got to do it. Someone's got to.
Well, let's wait and see who we get for a quarterback and then start talking about it.
Well,
they surely don't have one now. Maybe Solder, if they get Solder in there, maybe he can do it.
you know, you got those three guys in there right now, and yeah, like you're saying, it's going to be the fascinating thing is how he factors into the mix heading back into it. But I don't know, you can take some good takeaways from the team right now, see what they're at least evaluating and seeing what the most important things to them are likely.
Phil, you've never been a Brian Maurer fan, have you?
No.
I remember that. He's never been high on your list.
Well, I mean, even if he could play, he'll be hurt when, as soon as he gets hit. So, I mean, what's the use?
Man, that Scorpion play from last year. I still have it in replay in my head. Ugh. Or I guess, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, the Scorpion.
Yeesh.
I mean, he's been hit pretty hard since he's been here.
Yeah, he's had some nasty licks.
Taking some licks. But, all right, Phil, so if football isn't your cup of tea right now, I imagine the basketball news with Brandon Huntley Hatfield picking up a couple of crystal ball predictions, that might be a little bit more your style.
Well, supposedly it's going to happen this week, the rumor mill that's out there.
And that could play into why he does get a couple of these late projections. Maybe they know a little bit to that rumor. Maybe go ahead and feel comfortable about throwing that prediction out there, knowing that it might be just around the corner.
Even though the lead recruiter on him's gone, but Bobby Mays is still in town, so I'd say it had a lot more to do with it than the lead recruiter.
Yeah, and that was it. That was it. One of the first steps that Tennessee is going to need to do is absolutely get those assistant coaches talking to them, get a little bit of a connection set up, because, again, you're working with a little bit of a lessened time clock here, and like you just said, his lead recruiter is gone, so you got to get those relationships reestablished, although, again, the main one is Rick Barnes still being there.
Well, maybe Rick Barnes is talking to him.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Somebody's got to talk to him.
Really, a team effort, collectively, to some degree. But, yeah, man, get those assistant coaches in there, see what they can chat them up a little bit about, see if we can make this happen this week.
And y'all mentioned the other kid from Charlotte. It's like Tennessee to get shape with him. You put those two, they signed those two guys. Tennessee has according to those guys on evaluation, Tennessee will have the number two recruiting class in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be huge, Phil, to get those two guys to play down low, and then we've talked about maybe Fulkerson comes back, gives you a little bit of experience down there, and then you couple that with Mayshak and Kennedy Chandler. And, I think if you can get those two guys in, I will be pleased.
Yeah, and you still got room to add another big and maybe even another guard.
Yeah.
They've got plenty of flexibility with that roster.
Yeah, you know what I think about when you think about a lineup like that too, you think about that no players are necessarily having to play out of position. You got guys who are great at what they do, are great at being a point guard, being a center position, being a 3-and-D, being a power forward who can go and stretch the floor a little bit. These guys are really good at what they do in these traditional basketball spots.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the SEC, a lot of good recruiting classes this spring in the SEC. You got to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, and you had Gurley go to Alabama, Kessler go to Auburn. So you're still certainly fighting with those other teams in the portal.
Yeah, and Kentucky. I don't think Kentucky's going to lose, Arkansas, 15 games next year.
Arkansas has been sweeping up the portal.
Well, he does that every year. That's nothing new. That's how he recruited out there at the Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was just saying he's doing a really good job when we were talking about like teams you got to keep up with.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, that's true. I wonder what their number one player. Is he going to the NBA? Moody?
Moses Moody. I think he's already
a projected first round pick. I don't know whether he announced it or not, but he's definitely a projected first round pick. So I would think so.
So he did. It looks like about 4 days ago he officially declared for the draft. And they got him projected to the Raptors, it looks like. Although I don't know where that is just yet.
Pretty good player.
Yeah, that's a darn good player right there. It was interesting. It was fun to watch him and kind of Tennessee's freshmen comparing them throughout the year. You got some good young players heading into the league next year.
Yeah. Fabulous, you going to be hanging on your mentor anymore lately?
What was it? We talked on Friday. Got to go to Hops and Hollers. That is a fantastic bar. You should, be out there all the time whenever you get a chance. It is tremendous. Cam Black will say hello to you over there. But, that was fun. And I've never done a remote broadcast before. Which, Phil, that was actually the first time I got to meet you with Brandon there that one time. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the first in five plus, you know, 4 or 5 years here. Never done a remote broadcast.
Oh, yeah, because you were always back in the studio.
Yeah,
we were out on remote.
I was the one who was here. And then wow. The few that you guys have done, I remember, or at least the one.
Yeah, I think we've only done one or two.
And
we've done on the Blitz, but yeah, like
I know at least one of them was during my graduation.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've never gotten the chance to do it. So it was fun to be out there with them for that.
Well, you need to stay in the studio so I won't get flushed when I call that show at 3. See you.
Hey, he got flushed. He got dumped.
Actually, you did remotes. You did pregame stuff with Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tennessee Tailgate.
You guys used to do something called Tennessee Tailgate?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Live at Leaderboard.
Yeah.
I would listen to that religiously.
Yeah, man.
That was the pregame show.
Mm-hmm. If it was just Brandon.
I guess I did not consider that a show. You know, that was its own entity. That was a beast of its own. The Leaderboard pregame shows. Boy, those were fun. Hopefully we get another chance to do them.